Yeah, that was hot, wasn't it? That was, sure was something. Hey, everybody, it's 6 o'clock. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin. Thank you very much to Charlie from Around the Town Sounds. Mascot Wedding Show is coming up after. What are we going to hear, Mac?
This is Victory by the Walkman. Because we did it, guys.
Yeah!
2K11!
We did it!
We did it! More Mascot Wedding Show in a bit.
My Lord, where is
the... All right, happy 2011, everybody. The time is 6:06 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dialer, online worldwide at KOOP.org. It's the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hodder.
And my name is Mac Blake. This is a show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's show, the phone number is 472-5667-472-KOOP. Anything said on this show is just the opinion of the person that said it. Nobody else.
All right.
Oh, yeah. It does. No, that's it. There could be, not every space has to be filled, David.
It has to be. All right, we got to pack our entertainment in for the next hour because the listeners demand it.
That's true. We are a slave to their demands. Hey, we just heard. Man, my microphone is like moving around. Come on, 2011. We just heard "Victory" off of Lisbon, the album by the Walkman that came out in. Last year. Yesterday was last year, David.
Oh, my God.
Yesterday was last year.
I haven't seen you since last year, Mac Blake.
Oh, you devil. You scamp. I saw you this morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did.
Hey, and here's the thing. We might have the year's best show right now.
Yeah, exactly.
We may be like one and done.
Shut her down, America, because this is it.
Yeah, perfect from the first try.
That's right.
Because we have some special in-studio guests joining us today from the Austin Chronicle. Audra Schroeder.
Yay!
Hey, let me get to say some more than just that.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Hi.
Is that how you want to sit for the entire show? You look a little uncomfortable.
I'm fine.
Okay.
It's however you want it to be.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay because I was moving up our next guest microphone instead of yours because I know how to work the board. And also, the man who's quickly becoming this show's Nordberg, Andrew Rosas.
Yeah, I'm having that printed on my business card. Yeah. It's going to be great.
That's right.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, gang.
You bet.
Today on the show, we got a bunch of fun stuff, including something we did last night at a theater we're going to do today.
I assure you, it's fun and clean.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. We got a phone call?
Do you want to? Yeah,
why not? Can you do this?
I sure can.
Can you press that button? KOP, you're on the air. Yay. Hello? Hello? Happy New Year. Happy New Year, caller. Thanks for calling in.
And we're off.
And before we begin the 2011 Mascot Wedding March of Domination.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're kicking indoors this year.
We should, we're going to take a look back at 2K10, which everyone has been doing for the, and I still say the 2Ks, and I don't care, which everyone has been doing for like the last 3 months.
Yes. Yeah, everyone has been reflecting for the past.
Yeah, it's like the months. December comes along, like December 1st, like, here's our year-end best of list.
Right.
But here's the thing. Look, it's not my job to see every movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't listen to every album.
Right.
All right. I can't, sample every new wine that comes out. I tried real hard.
You
this
sure
year.
Do.
I really, yeah.
We're proud of your efforts.
But so instead of discussing, what's the best movie of the year or whatever, I'm going to talk about what my favorite stuff was.
Of course. Yeah, sure.
And, man callers.
Let's try.
This better be good. KOOP, you're on the air. Hello?
Hey.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Am I calling the right number?
I don't know. Do you want to talk to a radio station?
I absolutely do.
Okay, then yes, you're on the air. What can we do for you? Happy New Year to you, too.
David, nice to talk to you guys. I'm Facebook friends with one of you.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
That means you're real friends.
Mystery caller, yeah.
Well, I don't like this mystery caller.
Well, I'm back in town. I just wanted to call in and say Happy New Year to you guys, and then I'm excited to hear what it was because I couldn't go to the show last night.
Oh. Well, then you will get a taste of it. What is your name, caller?
Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing. Are you still in Austin? Or are you back in, Minnesota?
Yes. I'm just visiting back in town.
Oh, okay.
Because too cold.
Oh, sure.
Collapsing and whatnot.
Yeah, that's fine. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
I thought I'd just call and say Happy New Year and see if you guys would take a request.
We can listen to it.
I'm missing Captain Beefheart since he died.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Since he passed.
Well, if you get a second, I'd love to hear some of that. But if not, then just Happy New Year.
I don't think we're going to get to it this week, but I'll line something up for you. Real special-like.
Thanks.
Okay, no problem.
All right.
Thanks for calling in.
Jack, what? Yeah, go ahead. Hit that button. Okay.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, it's still enjoying that nice Austin winter weather. I think I saw somebody barbecuing outside today.
Yes, exactly.
And it wasn't to stay warm. It was just to cook some chicken. So we're going to talk about our favorite things of the year. And doing so, we brought in a ringer, Audra. Because you're paid to pay attention to stuff, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Paid to pay attention.
That's true.
Well, you really are. You have your finger on the pulse of everything, if I may say so. You impress me with your knowledge of just, frankly, if I just cut to the chase, how cool you are.
Yeah, exactly. We brought in someone cooler than us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also Andrew's here.
Do you have that slide whistle sound effect you can make right now? Oh, you don't?
Oh, no.
I just have the Price is Right loser music. I'm sorry.
That was going to be your intro, but we didn't do it. Well, what do you guys want to start off with? We have so many things across the world of culture. Bang, bang, bing, bing.
Yeah, what are your initial impressions of 2010? What are you walking away from with? What?
Well, it was a bizarre year, at least in pop culture. Well, mm-hmm. politically too. You know, it was a.
Well, because that allows that a guy Obama was
Obama.
Stealing our money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I was reading. Recently, that Christine O'Donnell, who was popular for a second.
I'm not a witch.
I'm not a witch quote was picked as the best quote of 2010, which kind of puts things in perspective, I guess.
Wow, that is the best quote. I guess maybe, yeah.
Or the most popular quote. Well,
that was the most popular quote of like 1614, too.
Yeah.
I'm not a witch. It was also
so great. It's making a comeback.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's great, though, that like that had to be said.
Right.
You know, like that had to come. It's like I can't believe I have to say this, but you know what? I bet she could believe she had to say it because she's crazy.
Well, the problem was that opened the door for all the things that she didn't say that she wasn't. Like, she never came out and said she wasn't a Dracula.
Oh, she could have been a female Dracula.
Or even mm-hmm. a Chocula.
She could have been a female Chocula.
That's right.
I don't know why I'm saying female.
A lady Chocula.
How do you test for that, a Chocula? Do you put it in milk and see if it floats?
You sure do.
Oh, Andrew Roses. You need to be thrown out of here. Gonna run out here on a rail so you can go do some rails.
Oh, what? Joke man.
Joke man? You're a Jackie Joke Man Martling. Is that his name, Martling?
Yes, Martling. God rest his soul.
Jackie Joke Man Bartley? Oh, is he dead?
No. I just feel awful.
I just feel really bad for him.
Yeah, exactly. God rest his sad, jokey soul.
Since we lost him.
Yes.
In an airport.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, kind of a bizarre, like, I write about music for the most part, so mm-hmm. music is what I am paid to focus on most.
And paid handsomely.
Yes, definitely.
Princely sums.
And I don't know, this year there were, like, all these music genres that just kind of popped up to mm-hmm. describe certain kinds of music, but there's been so many of them.
Yes. I saw your post the other day, and that cracked me up. Would you care to get into it some more?
Well, you know, there's all these, like, witch house is a genre now. And then there was a review a couple of months ago on Pitchfork where they used rape gaze mm-hmm. as a genre, and then there was slut wave. And I just don't really understand because it doesn't really describe music, but mm-hmm. I guess people are just...
Well, hold on, if I may interrupt.
Go ahead.
It sounds like you're selling the good name of the Pitchfork writers.
No.
Who would never just try to come up with something for the sake of coming up with something. So how dare you, I guess is what I'm saying.
It's just they just like put a bunch of like words in a hopper and just like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, the name generators.
Yeah, exactly.
Beef Trance is the new one next year. I believe.
So I was going to try and come up with some genres for 2011 to
do you have any,
spice things up.
Have you spitballed any yet? Have you come up with any?
I like Meat Wave.
Meat Wave? That's pretty good.
Do you?
That's what my microwave is, actually.
Do you have a band that would fit in under Meat Wave?
I'm hoping there's going to be some bands in 2011 that focus on meat songs.
Pick up the Meat Wave banner and just run with it.
Yeah.
The Bacon Brothers?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I thought,
I'm sorry.
already.
We've talked about this before. I thought the name Chill Wave was...
We'll throw 2011 away. It's already done.
I thought the name Chill Wave was really stupid,
uh-huh.
but at the same time, strangely accurate.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, oh, this is Electro Clash. It's like, that could be anything,
mm-hmm.
unless specifically the Clash.
yes.
But Chill Wave, I was like, yeah, all right, fine.
Yeah. So what did you...
Yeah, what was your favorite album, if you had to pick? If you want to go local and national, mm-hmm. that's fine.
Yeah. What was in your cassette player this year, is what I'm asking.
Well,
what?
You know, cassettes are very popular again.
Aren't they? That's driving me up the wall.
Because nobody has a cassette player anymore?
Yes, exactly. I've been looking everywhere.
Then how are they popular?
Well, then you have to get a cassette player.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you have to find one of the...
Because the hipsters go back to their parents' house into the attic.
Right, exactly.
Dust off that old Sony cassette player.
Yeah.
Or that Fisher Price.
Can I tell you something? I was at a coffee shop the other day. I saw hipsters coloring. I saw them like actual,
coloring books
out and Crayola crayons. And they were just coloring. Wait, you're nodding like this is... I was just making that up. Have you seen people doing this?
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
I bought it.
Nobody's working on screenplays anymore. It's just, you know, coloring books.
It's just recapturing. Like, they bought those sticker books, and they just got all the stickers.
The Lisa Frank.
Yes.
Trapper Keepers. Exactly. The puffy stickers, yeah.
Where are you taking that cassette player, son?
Shut up, Dad! I'm sorry, we completely deviated from the point. So what were we listening to this year?
Well, locally, let's see, what was on my top 10? Well, there was the Casual Victim Pile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When did that
come out?
It was this year?
Yeah, that was January, February, something like that.
And, you know, it was a very kind of like concentrated sampling of Austin punk rock.
Yeah, that was all right.
The Beerland variety.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, can that become a genre? Beerland?
Beerland core? Yes. I think they're probably.
Beerland core. Nice.
Also really liked a CD by this band called The Gary, who are actually, Free Week starts tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It runs through next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Emos, Beerland, Mohawk, Red 7, countless other places. And the Dairy is playing tonight at Beerland.
Is that right?
Yes.
Now, we can't name the price of things, so please refrain from doing that. But yeah, just one more time, it's Free Week at Beerland.
Yes.
And other places on Red River, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Free Week or the time I'm always out of town.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I do that Free Week, right? Like every year. I'm out of town.
It's going to be... What kind of music is the Gary? I don't know them.
They're a trio,
mm-hmm.
and kind of in the same vein of Mission of Burma.
Okay, I'm with you.
Post punk, I guess, is what the kids were calling it.
Wish I hadn't said it that way, but all right.
they're wave core.
Yes.
Post wave punk core.
Oh,
I like this.
You want to throw some hyphens in there?
Please do.
I was looking at like a lot of like year-end best of like top 10 lists for music or top whatever. I think Pitchfork had like a top 50.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez. And it's like like most of those albums, I was like, man, I didn't hear that one. I didn't listen to that one. I didn't really, you know, the Arcade Fire was okay. I didn't really get into it all that much.
Yeah.
I know, Andrew, you hate the Arcade Fire.
Okay, look, I don't hate the Arcade Fire. I just don't. I'm just like, I'm bored. I'm sort of bored by the Arcade
right.
Fire.
And, but like looking back on it, and this kind of bothers me a little bit, but if you're like, hey, what album are you going to remember most from 2K10?
Sure.
And it's, it has to be like the Kanye album. And it's
doesn't
not,
have to be?
For me, it is.
Okay.
And it's like, and it's not necessarily just for, you know, the album.
Right.
Like, I feel like if you read any review of, like, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, the first paragraph was just like, Kanye West has a crazy Twitter. And then, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's about him. And then, like, oh, the album's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, all that controversy. But, like, I think of the album that I spun the most, like, I'm a DJ in my car.
Well, you are a DJ.
I'm playing it on the one of the two.
You're spinning the platters that matter.
And by the one of the two, I just mean the one.
Uh-huh.
I think the album I played most in my car probably was the Best Coast album. So
really?
I just say Best Coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, I man,
Sunglasses Cat on the cover.
Yes, that was the
Snacks, I believe his name is.
That'll be the other title for it. Like the Blue Album became the Blue Album. This will become Sunglasses Cat,
or the actual title of the album. But go ahead. I think it's Crazy for You, right?
Oh.
Something like that. Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah.
It'll become Sunglasses.
Oh, anyway. Sunglasses Cat. Anyways, how about you, David?
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like I was going over the best of list this year, and I really felt like this was the year I sort of lost touch. Like I felt like I was regaining like
touch with the youth of today and what was popular like over the past few years. But this year I was completely off base. Like I had stuff I liked. Like I really liked the Titus Andronicus album. I really liked what else? The Ted Leo album. I liked LCD Sound System's album.
I couldn't get into that Ted Leo.
Yeah, it wasn't his best, but I found it eminently playable.
Well, I liked some tracks off, but I couldn't like it didn't. I don't know. I got bored during some of it.
Yeah.
Which I got bored during some of it. Like, you're wasting my time, Ted Leo. Like, why am I? I feel stupid for saying that.
Right. Right.
Exactly. That guy's great. But no, I don't know. I liked other something else better.
But yeah, but even just even stuff that like I really liked is not. I'm not going to remember 2010 for it. I mean, like, what was around? Like, I played New Pornographers a lot. I played that their new album Together because that was just great. That was a really great album. But I'm not going to. It's not timeless. There's no everlasting quality to it. It was just good music, I guess.
what a rave review.
Yeah, exactly.
It was kind of good, I guess.
Put that on the box, please. Yeah. But yeah. No, Kanye's album got like 5 stars from like Rolling Stone and from Pitchfork, which will never happen again to get both of those in the same room. But I just don't feel that for that, you know? That's not my cup of tea, if I may say. I wanted to like it.
Yeah, and I'm a really big Spoon fan, and I forgot that album even came out this year.
Yeah.
And what is that, Forgiveness Rock record that came out this year by Broken Social Scene?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, yeah. When that came out, I was like, oh, awesome! And then like now I'm like, wait, what's on there? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's... But even though Best Coast songs like all sound the exact same,
yeah.
I still could like sing. Well, I could sing one of them, so I feel like I could sing every one of them.
Well, that's quite an accomplishment.
But what about nationally? You got something?
Nationally, well, I did like that Best Coast album. I didn't like it when I first listened because, well, all her songs are about like smoking weed and her cat.
Yeah, well, that's what most of the show is about.
Yeah, exactly.
Smoking weed, which I'm fine with. You know, I'm into that. But
my cat smokes weed.
Yeah, exactly.
But she did have that one song that just gets stuck in your head, that boyfriend song. And I think a lot of, you know, pop music this year was that kind of, not a lot of substance, but a lot of, you know, getting stuck in your head. The Lady Gagas and the Katy Perry, I guess.
Yeah.
Willow Smith had that song.
Oh, my God. I'd really rather not.
Yeah, let's never bring that up again.
Okay. But, you know, just like the hook, you know, it was all about the hook. And speaking of Kanye West's album, I didn't like his album, and I'm not really a fan of his. I know a lot of people were saying, I hated him, but now I love him. Mm-hmm. I still don't really like him, but Nicki Minaj in that in her verse for Monster, like, completely owned that song.
Right.
Yeah, she was...
But her album on its own was kind of like,
I like the faces she makes. I think she makes a lot of funny faces.
The thing with the Kanye West album is like I would listen and like a one liner there would be like, oh, that's stupid. And next line I'd be like, all right, that's really clever.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And it's like, you know, but it's, I don't know, Brag Hop, I'm going to call it, which is all of hip hop for the most part. Well, bragging wears on me after a while.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, like I don't need to be pumped up every time. Plus I don't have, I don't really care. You know, Christ the Baron. Like, I don't, you know, whatever.
You don't?
No.
Well, you're missing out on a lot of great songs.
Yeah. I like how we start off the show with Victory, though, claiming that we did it.
Well, that was your call.
Yeah. I like bragging myself. Mm-hmm. I don't like, I don't want to hear someone else brag.
Yeah. I prefer my hip hop from the streets, I guess is that what I'm saying. Digital Underground. I like them a lot. The Humpty Dance. Sex Packets.
By the way, when you were talking about how it was all about the hook, I was like, I wanted to say, oh, the Blues Traveler song? But I couldn't think of Blues Traveler in time.
Oh, poor you.
Instead, I was going
to go. You and the rest of the nation. I couldn't think of Blues Traveler.
This year's all about the hook. I was like, oh, Fat Guy Harmonica? Like, that's all. That's all I could come to my head.
Blues Traveler did have an album up this year.
And they were also, they played ACL this year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was that this year?
Did they play the Kitty Park? Did they play that, like, Kitty?
No, they didn't pull a Verve pipe.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they played a real damn stage. It was awful.
A real damn stage.
Yeah.
They played a real good damn set. Good damn good set.
Hey, yeah. Just watch it, Callahan.
I threatened to punch them, and then I extended my hand.
Let's take a break. What are we going to hear?
What are we going to hear? Where am I? CD2?
CD2.
What's my track number?
Oh, geez. Be professional. A track two?
Track two, Mark Sultan from his Dollar Sign album. Also came out in 2010. This is Status. More Mascot Wedding Show after this. Damn, it seems like only yesterday.
lot of microphone buttons. Hey, we are back with the Mascot Wedding Show. David, what did we just hear?
We just heard Mark Sultan from the Dollar Sign album. I'm going to call it that because it's just a dollar sign, but that was status. Loud and fun for me.
That guy likes money. Hey, that's not what I meant to do. There we go. Hey, we're joined in. My name is Mac. Blake.
My name is David. Hotta.
Let me get my last name out again. Blake.
Sorry.
Nobody cares. And joining us in studio, special guest from the Austin Chronicle, Audra Schroeder.
Hi.
There we go. Now they can connect the voice with your name.
Yeah.
And also Andrew Rosas.
Yes.
Local gadfly.
Gadfly, yes.
Yeah, actually, you got a new band name.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
It was originally, my old band name was Mountain, spelled MTN. But for legal reasons, I changed it, and it is now Ghost Word.
You can use your, like, an outdoor voice. You don't have to whisper. It's like, this isn't Eclecticos.
Always going after Eclecticos.
Well, I'll take you
what did they ever do to you?
That's my, what did he ever do to me? bores me. I turn on the radio at 9, I want some more news, and then it's like, time to play some more songs. I just ate a delicious pear-based tart.
I was about to say, well, it's not his fault that his show happens during his oatmeal hour, where he's just enjoying a bowl full of oatmeal.
I think the show happens during his oatmeal years.
His memoirs is called The Oatmeal Years.
These are our oatmeal years, when the teeth give way, and the gums come with the softness. Hey, so we're talking about our favorite things from the past year. And all right, enough stupid talk. Let's get to it. Movies. Yeah. Movies.
I liked Inception.
Stop saying movies in there.
Yeah, once again, like there's a lot of stuff on like I didn't see Winter's Bone. I saw some other stuff. And because Inception made, an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
And a lot of dumb people. Also, like, super liked it.
Right.
To where I was like, it almost made me like, I don't know. But I can't lie to you. I had the most fun at Inception.
Well, I think you got to think back to like your initial reaction, because I saw Inception with both you guys.
That's right.
We went and saw it opening night at the IMAX, and that was
front row.
Oh my gosh, it was insane. Even the front row there is like one of the best seats in the house because the IMAX. It's just the way it's set up. But yeah, I just remember being that. I will treasure that memory always because it was a super fun movie. And there's a couple of moments in that movie where it was just we were sitting there. I remember looking over at you, and it was just like, oh my gosh, this is awesome.
Like when the train comes through at a certain part of the movie, a giant train comes in. I was like, oh man, it's like, can everyone just high five in the movie theater? High five.
Yeah.
This thing's good.
And I remember there was that moment, the like shake your head, it's so good moment when they talk about the totem, like you have to spin it so you know you're not dreaming.
Right.
Just like that concept, it's just like, it's so good.
Yeah.
Shut up, movie.
The level of care that went into this movie that you don't see in other movies, I appreciated that. And like, you know, now that time has passed and I've sort of gotten away from the initial experience of the movie, like I'll find flaws in it, but that's not going to take away from, like, it's very hard for me to sort of be in awe of movies. Like, I mean, I've seen enough movies to be like, they did it. They did that effect this way. Or, you know, this is set up, you know, and you know how the twist is going to be. But like this movie, I was on board and it was just a really fun, exciting thing. And I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
So kudos to you, Inception. But with that said, like it was my favorite. Like it was my favorite movie experience of the year. But I really loved Winter's Bone. I think that was probably my favorite movie of this year. That was just. Did you see it, Audra? You're not.
I didn't. But you should. Somebody told me I should.
And his name was David Hotta, and he's telling you right now. But I'm not telling the listeners because that would be a call to action.
You know, you. I remember you told me to go see that Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Yeah.
Like a long time ago, and I watched it today.
Oh, really?
Because I was like, oh, I should
drum up some material for the.
No, there's a couple things on like some best of lists that I wanted to see but didn't get to, and that was on there, and I really enjoyed it. You know, it didn't. I mean, it's one thing. Like I watched it. All right, I'm gonna be honest with you. I watched it streamed it through Netflix. Off my iPad while sitting in bed. I don't think I'm going to get the same experience as seeing like Inception at IMAX. You know?
No.
Like it's like resting it on my chest and like occasionally pausing and being like, should I get a soda? I didn't see Mother this year, which is weird because this year I watched I forget his name, like Bong Soo or something, the director. He's from South Korea.
Anything I come up with is not going to.
Yeah, he's the same guy that directed Host. And I watched like a whole mess of those movies this year. And also the guy that directed Old Boy.
That's right.
Man.
Yeah.
Again, I watched. Escapes me.
Yeah, sorry. I watched the Vengeance trilogy and then something else this year.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't get around to seeing that. Toy Story 3 surprised me because I didn't really, I'm not like a, you know, like, oh, Toy Story, that's a franchise I'm invested in.
Uh-huh.
But, and like.
Because you're a monster.
Well, no, because it's like, how, the last one was like 10 years ago or something,
something
like that.
Like
Toy
that.
Story
yeah.
2.
It was like 2000.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Whoa.
It's a franchise. It's been around for like 15 years.
Oh, so. No, I know. Like, I remember seeing the first one as a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sort of blows my mind.
Yeah.
But, so. I don't know. I think they've got that. I think that franchise has staying power because you have people going to see it. You meet people who saw it as kids, like me, who were, you know, loved it, and you know, 15 years later, crying like a little baby in the theater because that man. I don't know how they do it. Those Pixar people with their fingers on my heartstrings.
Yeah, it's the Pixar brand. You know, I trust them, but at the same time, like. No Toy Story 4. We're done. Like,
oh, no. It's
not going to be a Meet the Fockers kind of thing.
No. Oh, man. That's right.
you mean that franchise built around a joke? That one joke in the title?
Yeah. My best of list isn't complete. I apologize because I haven't seen Meet the Fockers yet.
Little Fockers.
Oh, that's right.
That's the new one.
I beg your pardon. See, now I just...
That ad campaign writes itself. Come see this fucking movie.
All right. That's enough of that.
With Toy Story though, like I don't know. I mean, Toy Story 1 and 2, they were enjoyable, but they weren't like my favorite movies or anything. When I had like that strong reaction to 3, I thought I was impressed.
Sure.
True Grit was really good. Black Swan, I think people built it up a little too much when I finally saw it, but Natalie Portman was amazing in that. One movie that I thought I was so prepared to love. It was like the meeting of the, you know, I was like, this is going to be amazing. We talked about it at length, Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Because I was a huge fan of Edgar Wright, huge, like giant fan of the Scott Pilgrim comics. I was like, this is going to be great. And it was definitely enjoyable, but like it, I don't know. I felt about it afterwards.
Yeah. I ended up seeing it a second time because I think we talked about this where the first time I saw it opening night and I went to go see it. But then I had to go see it a second time because I wanted to watch it. Like, it's one thing to sort of get that experience of like, oh, it's opening night of this movie I've been really excited about. And like, there was a sort of giddiness there. It's like, do I like this movie? And so I watched it a second time and I enjoyed it more, actually, because I got to sort of sit with it. And it was, I wish it was more well-liked than it was. That's a sentence, right?
Yeah, it's funny. It ended up on the AV Club's like year-end list and they gave it a C+ when it came out, which I think is adorable. But I definitely liked it, and I know like the first time you see movies, sometimes they have you, it's basically you're weighing it against your own expectations and so you don't really like see it. It's like, I like to tell example, like I saw Superman Returns and then, once I knew it was boring, I could then enjoy it. Cause it's like, oh, it's supposed to be boring.
Uh-huh.
It's a boring Superman movie. That's what people like. And, I didn't like it. True story. But yeah, and then what else came out this year? There's something else I wanted to
talk about. Jump in. What are your thoughts on movies this year?
Well, I saw Black Swan recently.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. I agree, you know, it wasn't like something, you know, it wasn't mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what people told me. They were like, it's going to blow your ass right out of the seat.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like sitting down.
But it was genuinely creepy. You know, Darren Aronofsky, I'm kind of hot and cold on a lot of his movies, but I thought it was well made. I almost wish I could have seen like John Waters do the same movie because I think it could have been campier.
Right.
And there was, you know.
Well, see, now you're throwing me for a loop because I'm actually going to go see this tonight so I can get it out of the way. So, I mean, is it a melodrama? Is it a psychological thriller? I don't know. And actually, that's a credit to the ad campaigns. They haven't really told me that much.
Yeah.
So.
I would say it's sort of a psychological. It's very. I was thinking about this. Black Swan. It's really claustrophobic, that movie. That movie is filmed in like four rooms that you hardly ever see outdoors. Like I think there's like four shots in that movie that take place like outside. The rest of it takes place like at the dance, at the rehearsal space, at her apartment. And then, like, out at a club. And, like, that's it. Like, that movie is so claustrophobic in the best way. It really makes you feel that.
And it's all the mirror kind of
images. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like Aronofsky's movies are very claustrophobic. Like, what was that one? The Fountain? Like, he made the South American jungles feel like it was, like, you know, closing in on you and that kind of stuff. Although, I guess with the dense...
vegetation.
Yeah, it could be. It could be claustrophobic. So, you win again, Aronofsky. Oh, boy.
Put it up on the board.
Well, either way, I'm looking forward to seeing it because I'm taking my parents. My mom loves the ballet, And I know she's going to love it. So I'm looking forward to her reaction.
Actually, it's funny. It's because it's basically like the story of Swan Lake.
Sure.
Kind of like played out in a certain way. I don't want to give it away too much. It's funny because I feel like if someone described the plot of the movie, it would sound like a really stupid. It's like, do you remember the movie adaptation?
Yeah.
Where the guy's brother was like, "Oh, that movie, The Three,"
right?
You know, and it's like there's three people, but it's all in like someone's head or something like that. Like, you know, or like it would sound like if you describe like the premise to me now after seeing it, and I'd be like, "That's stupid," but no, it was great. It was a great movie.
Yeah.
So enjoy,
David. Yeah.
But there was one part where I had to like go and like put my hands to my face and just like hold them there and be like, oh dear, you know, like I was a piglet scared. Yeah.
Was it the cuticle thing?
That and also David, look over there for a second. When this happened, yeah, okay, yeah, it's seen with Winona Ryder.
As reflective,
people, yeah. I know that helps people listening. You're like, what the hell are you talking about? she goes to visit Winona Ryder in the hospital a couple times. Something happens.
Yeah.
So look forward to that day.
But there's a lot of smooching going on too, right? Yeah. Looking forward to that.
It should be a real special time with you and your mom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's down with it.
So would you say Black Swan was your favorite movie of the year?
I really liked Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Exit Through the Gift Shop. Yeah. No, that's having seen it hours ago. pretty great. Now, they talked about how like it was possibly like, you know, staged or whatever. What aspect were they talking about it being staged, the fact that the Mr. Brainwash guy like was not just some rube off the street or something?
Well, he's a real artist. Like I know people who have actually gone to see the show that... But yeah, I guess that, you know, which artists are they kind of taking down, Banksy or this guy? And you know, can somebody become famous overnight? You know, just kind of this whole kind of rumination on fame and what it actually means.
Yeah. And especially like his art is completely devoid of talent. Like it really was just like, I've got a, you know, screen print and Photoshop.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it really was taking that sort of like, you know, Andy Warhol style factory thing, like almost literally.
Mm-hmm, right.
Where it was like, you know, burm, 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 like that.
Mm-hmm. Powerhouse, yeah. Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. That's it.
I can do the whole thing. I do four parts of it.
We got to pay the rights to it.
The one thing I feel like I could... Oh, let's talk about TV real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like the one thing I feel like I could make a top 10 list of.
Well, sure. Go for it.
And do you mind if I just read it? And I need to edit this because I left out Venture Brothers.
Oh man, yeah. Fantastic season this year.
Okay, so I'm gonna go. Where should I put that? All right, well I'll put it here somewhere. So let's go number 11 for me. This one I'm embarrassed. I had to come to terms with this one.
Okay,
because I watched it and then I realized that how I look forward to, like, you know, it was like Tuesday, awesome, Sons of Anarchy is on. This was not that great of a. Season 2 I thought was better or season 1 because I didn't care about some stuff they did this year, but I like that show.
All right.
Like it's fun. Number 10, Ugly Americans, for the best voice acting TV, which I didn't see Archer, so maybe that one.
Oh man, Archer was, thank you, I forgot about Archer.
If people there are drinking, pour a little something out for Party Down because it's not coming back.
Oh that's man, right.
Yeah. That was a sad one.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I want to see the rest of your list if that's down there.
And then I'm going to go ahead and put, 30 Rock, which maybe not its best season, but I still thought it was really good.
I think it was better than last. I think it's been better than last season. Oh, no, wait. I guess, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the season that we're in currently. I don't know. Season 4, just, eh.
What about the end of whatever, last season?
I guess the last season, I guess season 4, she gets it with Matt Damon's character
at
the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I have a feeling that the season 4 was lacking sort of in the writing department. I think Tina Fey was the busiest person in the world in 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of showed in the show. But again, one of my favorite shows, so I have really high standards for it.
Yeah, it's like a show. I mean, like, the thing is I wanted to, like, put The League on this list, which I thought was really funny, but I find myself fast-forwarding through parts of the league.
How dare you?
Which, because it's like, I
you sicken me.
I get the joke sometimes. I don't need it like played out for 5 minutes. That's how I feel about The Office, which is not on this list either.
Thank God.
Lost is on this list. I forget which number we're on now. Let me see. 11, 10, 9, 8. So I guess 7 is Lost.
All right.
Which I know the ending is disappointing for everybody, but as much as I like talked about that show, I must admit that I like enjoyed the process of watching it.
I thought it wrapped up everything I knew about it perfectly.
You didn't watch it.
I watched the last episode just so I can. I'm caught up now. I know what everybody else knows.
Yeah, yeah.
Audra, are you a Lost fan? Did you ever get into Lost?
I tried, but I could never get myself to go back to season one and start with the whole thing. So I watched half of this season.
Right.
And I feel like I got it.
Right? Yeah.
Well, done. Spoiler alert, Jack is Darth Vader's father.
That's what I was thinking.
Jeez, oh Pete.
Lost at this point, if you haven't seen it, I would almost think it'd be feel like work.
Yes, exactly.
But and then before that, I'd put Venture Brothers, which had the season finale, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
And then Mad Men.
Mad Men.
And then I got a rookie on the list here at number four, Louie. How great was
Louie? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That, you know what? Bam, that is absolutely my favorite show, new show of the year.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Louis managed to, like, you know, when it wasn't doing jokes, I mean, it would go to some sort of, like, you know, it would have, like, absurdist moments, but then it would have moments of, like real heartfelt, like, conversations between characters that, like, I kept waiting for something crazy to happen and never did, and the moments were, like, really good.
The episode where, if you haven't seen the show, there's an episode toward the end of the season where Louis gets punked out by this, like, kid in a diner when he's on a date, and he, like, follows the kid. It's, like, this crazy moment. It's not funny at all. Like, he follows this kid home to, like, see, like, to, like, tell his parents, hey, by the way, your son is a jerk, and, like, ends up having this conversation with the kid's dad on the porch, like, smoking a cigarette, and it's, like, this is amazing. Like, this is so good.
Yeah.
This is like, man, well done, Louis C.K.
Or the episode,
well done.
The episode where he's a kid and he thinks back to, like, when the forensic scientist came in to explain the crucifixion of Christ.
Oh,
that wasn't funny at all,
yeah,
but
no,
it was great television.
Yeah. And then before that, Parks and Recreation, I thought, had an amazing year, finally came into its own.
Yeah.
And because not on this list, but on a lot of people's list is Community. I didn't really get into it. I know, Andrew, you really like Community.
I take the really out of there. I like Community.
Okay.
Like, I enjoy it, and I think it's I think it has moments of really funny stuff. And but Community is one of those shows that, like, it's hit or miss episode to episode. Like, it'll be like, did you see the last episode of Community? Really good, really funny. Then tonight's episode will be just boring and not effective in any way, like, comedically. Or they try to do the same thing, where they try to be sort of like heartfelt and sweet and give characters sort of moments of humanity.
Right.
And I don't know if they can. I don't think the show is way too young for them to be able to handle that really, really well. I don't know. I could go into, like, more philosophizing about Community, but
I feel like Community is not as good as the sum of its parts, or like some of the parts is less than the
whole.
Yeah. Right. Wow. Or you, basically,
we're with you.
I screwed that up. It's got a really great cast, and I don't feel like it's using it properly. Are you a fan of Community?
Yeah, and I feel kind of the same way. Like, it had a lot of good players, you know, Joel McHale, Chevy Chase, but they weren't
Donald
really
Glover.
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. His name.
Hilarious.
But it wasn't really, the plots were just kind of like. But there was one episode I saw, I think it was this past season, where they found a trampoline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Donald Glover and Joel McHale found a trampoline in the school. And it was like this really bizarre kind
of secret garden thing. Yeah.
Right.
Where I think when they do episodes like that, like, wasn't there like a space episode too?
They get trapped in the Kentucky Fried Chicken, like, Space Command
That's
module.
Right. Yeah.
That episode was crazy, crazy funny.
It was charming. It was
even when they take it out of the school kind of environment, it gets funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't feel like, I don't believe the community college setting at all at that show. Like,
Yeah, that's, I don't know. So, to talk about where, like, did you see the Christmas episode where they were all, like, claymation animated?
I did.
I guess
know.
It was the last episode of the
it
season.
Was, yeah.
Or the last episode before
the break.
Before the break.
Right.
Man, not good. Not good at all. No, but I was just like, wow, what a sour way to go out.
But the reason I brought that up is because, like, I feel like Parks and Recreation is a show that uses, like, the most out of its cast.
Yeah.
And it's got a cast. So before that, number two for me, Breaking Bad was great. And it had, and do you watch Breaking Bad?
I'm going to get around to it.
But this season finale was like a punch right in my face. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the next season. And number one show of the year, and this is really sad for me because it got canceled. Only lasted one season, Terriers.
Terriers.
Terriers. You didn't like it?
I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't see it along with a lot of people.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like, I didn't watch it at the beginning. Like, I just, it was like, FX was like on one night. And I'm not really like, I don't really flip around all that much. Which, so I'm missing all these great shows like Cake Boss or
yes,
some
of
sort of pawn show with a porn based name.
That one where the guy has multiple wives.
Yeah.
The sickest show ever.
But yeah, Terriers was an amazing Monster show. But it was canceled. Hey, we're running up against it. So let's go right to this thing.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And then we'll close with the stuff. But thanks for talking about the year with us.
We didn't get to talk about Cougar Town.
Oh yeah, Cougar Town. Tell us about Cougar Town.
Yes.
Cougar Town is Courtney Cox plays a 40-something divorcee. Mm-hmm. It's based in Florida, and I'm from Florida, so I had to watch an episode.
And, as per your contract.
Yes.
It's actually the same writers as Scrubs.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Which mm-hmm. I was never really a fan of, but it's the writing team is equally men and women.
Okay.
And a lot of the jokes on the show are like, I knew a woman was writing them, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of like these interactions between Courtney Cox and her friends that are just like, I've said that to a girlfriend before.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of like boozy, mm-hmm. you know, sentiments.
Yeah, I love you, but I'm going to be awful to you.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
Isn't there like a giant wine glass which has like a name or something?
Big Joe.
And that's it. I like that.
She has a big wine glass with a name.
Well, there actually is a wine glass you can buy that holds an entire bottle of wine.
I'm on board.
And they have named it on the show.
Are you on board with the show or the wine glass?
Both. Oh, now.
Okay. That's like stoner things. Like they like name their bongs and stuff. Yeah. It's like a, I don't know. It's weird.
So it's like Half-Baked for women.
So
speaking of Half-Baked.
But you know, and what, that's on ABC?
I think so.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's on after Modern Family, which okay, I also liked. That's this ABC. Year.
Yeah, Modern Family is in the show I never saw, but people tell me that it's got good moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would never think to watch, because like Cougar Town, like that name.
And then I did not want to watch it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've what you said, and I've heard some good stuff. I think I'll check Cougar Town. Used to be my 2K living to-do list. So we did this thing last night to kick in the new year at, where was that place?
SVT.
Salvage Vanguard Theater. And we had a lot of fun doing it. And because barely anyone heard it, we decided we're going to do it again today. This is a year recap.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to tell you about 2000, what is it again? 10?
2010, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell them, shut up, I already know everything about it. And we're going to do it. Andrew Rosas is going to play guitar. And he's going to play the top song of 2010, which actually came out in 2009.
That's right.
So Andrew, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. David, are you ready?
Ready, Mac.
All right, whenever you're ready.
January 1st, 2010. I made a resolution to have sex sometime in 2010. In related news, it is now 2011.
January 7th, the Longhorns lose national title game to the University of Alabama, 37-21. Many Austinites report that the city has the unmistakable aroma of loser stink, replacing a city's previous odor, hipster beard musk.
January 12th, a 7.0 earthquake rocked Haiti. As a result, the entire world came together and agreed that it was an absolute tragedy that Wyclef Jean wasn't there when it happened.
January 27th, after much speculation, Apple unveils a new iPad, which goes on to sell 3 million units in just 80 days of release. With considerably less fanfare, Apple also announced their other new product, the iMad, a device which tells you how much the iPad costs.
January 28th, Toyota makes their second recall announcement, recalling over 4 million cars. Toyota also changed its slogan from Moving Forward to Die Foolish American Blue Jeans Coca-Cola Mickey Mouse.
Don't stop, make it pop, DJ blow my speakers up. Tonight I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick-tock on the clock, but the party don't stop, no.
Feel free to join in next time, Audra. I know you know the words. February 12th, the 21st Winter Olympics began in Vancouver, Canada, although not a single person remembers actually watching them. The idea was probably just put in our minds by secret agents while we were sleeping. That'd be a pretty cool movie.
Yeah. February 18th, a plane was flown into the IRS building next to the Arboretum. Upon seeing the incident, a customer purchasing a set of throw pillows at the neighboring Crate and Barrel was heard to remark that someone's keeping it weird.
February 24th, a SeaWorld employee is tragically killed by a killer whale during a show. February 25th, SeaWorld parkgoers report yesterday's show was better.
March 10th, Corey Haim dies, outlasting his career by 25 years.
I'm not going to do that next one because it's too dirty. All right.
Okay. March 23rd. I don't want to do this one either.
Okay, March 30th. The CERN Super Collider, the world's largest atom smasher, collided two protons at a speed three times faster than ever before. The experiment was designed to simulate the Big Bang model and help explain the origin of the building blocks of the universe. However, the experiment also created an alternate universe where people lived in zoos and animals watched us.
What?
Wow. Whoa. Crazy.
Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up. Tonight, I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick tock on the clock, but the party don't stop.
Nice.
April 20th, an explosion aboard BP's Deepwater Horizon oil rig began spilling what would end up totaling 205 million gallons of crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico. In a statement, the head of BP declared, "Don't worry, there's plenty more where that came from." What's that? There isn't? Ah!
F. April 23rd, despite opposition from the White House, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer signed Senate Bill 1070, one of the most stringent immigration laws in the country. The new law encourages racial profiling and makes it a misdemeanor crime to not carry immigration papers. This is the latest move in Arizona's 98-year tourism campaign called Come to Arizona, we're a goddamn dusty turd.
Where was I? May 2nd, we make contact.
May 23rd, the series finale of the popular TV show Lost airs. Shortly following the conclusion of the show, I turn to my friend Jimena and remark, what?
May 28th, actor Gary Coleman died after sustaining a brain hemorrhage following an injury at his Utah home. May 29th, a Utah gravedigger clocks out early.
Because he's short, he doesn't need to...
He's tinier.
That's my favorite joke of 2010.
June 4th, I had free birds and Chipotle on the same day. Local toilets were warned of dark times ahead.
Not doing the next one.
Not doing the next one. June 10th, that one is really dirty. We'll post it. After being trapped in a well for 37 days, Austin entertainer Andrew Rosas is finally rescued. What? That happened to you, Andrew?
Really?
Yeah, sure did.
How was that, man?
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad. I got these free pair of Foster Grant sunglasses when I got out. It was pretty weird.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome. Those are expensive. Right. Yeah.
Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up. Tonight, I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick-tock on the clock, but the party don't stop. No.
June 11th, the World Cup begins in South Africa with Spain ultimately winning and the U.S. making an impressive showing. In a related story, I made a fortune on the World Cup by betting that the games would be boring as hell.
June 27th, nine Russian spies were arrested and deported from the U.S. after an FBI sting dubbed Illegals Program. Among the nine arrested was a 28-year-old redhead named Anna Chapman, whose attractive figure even prompted comments from Vice President Joe Biden, who said he wasn't the one who ordered her deported.
When asked to clarify these comments, Biden said, "I want to kick her out of a hot tub."
When asked to clarify those comments, Biden said, "I like to get a peek under her iron curtain."
When asked to clarify those comments, Biden said, "Don't come a-knockin' if the Lincoln bedroom is a-knockin'."
When asked to clarify those comments, Biden picked up a hot dog and placed it through the hole of a donut while making a low whistle followed by an imitation of a dog panting.
Next one.
Oh, sorry. July 8th, the Christopher Nolan movie Inception was released.
July 9th, dude, you guys, Inception was awesome. July 10th, seriously, how great was Inception? July 11th, you haven't seen Inception yet? Do you want to go? I'll go with you. July 12th, what did I do this weekend? Oh my God.
July 8th, in a controversial decision, professional basketball player LeBron James announces on live television his intention to sign with the Miami Heat, shocking his current team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. He then went on to tell the children of Cleveland that Santa Claus wasn't real and that Doggy Heaven was total effing BS.
Also on July 8th, immediately following LeBron James' decision, Tony Curtis appeared on live television announcing, "I'll be dead within the year."
July 9th, Mel Gibson releases his first podcast featuring prank calls he makes as the vulgar character Boxcar Mel.
July 13th, George Steinbrenner, per the agreement, finally goes to hell.
July 25th, after returning from retirement, professional cyclist and seven-time champion Lance Armstrong finishes the Tour de France in 23rd place. Reflecting on his performance, Armstrong said, "I should have taken more steroids." You're not recording this, are you? Uh-oh.
July, I'm not doing the next one.
Okay, in that case...
Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up. Tonight, I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick-tock on the clock, but the party don't stop. No.
President Obama, this is August 13th, President Obama weighs in on the debate over the proposed mosque at Ground Zero, announcing that he is all for it because I am a secret Muslim who was really born in Kenya, plus I hate America. Conservative talk show host Glenn Beck then awoke from his slumber and realized that it was all a dream. Upon inspection of his bedsheets, they were quickly placed in the washing machine.
August 13th, a nationwide recall of... I'm not doing that one.
Okay. September 31, David returns that misprinted calendar.
October 8th, the 9th annual ACL Fest began in Zilker Park. Also on October 8th, I sold my 3-day pass, bought a bottle of bourbon, ordered 3 days worth of Chinese food, and watched The Wire from beginning to end. It was the greatest weekend of anyone's life.
October 12th, 33 Chilean miners were rescued after being trapped underground for 69 days, becoming instant celebrities around the world. Meanwhile, one of the Chilean mine rescuers was kicked out of an Applebee's for trying to use an expired coupon.
Is this one clean? It is. November 9th, George W. Bush releases his first post-presidency book, Decision Points. In the book, Bush discusses his feud with rapper Kanye West over accusations that West stole lyrics from Bush, ripping off the line, take your diamonds and throw them up like you bulimic from a 2004 economic summit.
The next one involves a masturbation joke. I'm not going to read it.
Is the next one clean? The next one is totally clean. December 10th, Kesha's song TikTok, which name drops P. Diddy, is announced as the top single of 2010. P. Diddy later changes his name to Diddy Dirty Money, making the otherwise timeless classic completely outdated.
December 12th, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was finally repealed this year, ending a ban on gays serving openly in the military. In response to this repeal, a new bill was introduced preventing members of the military from reporting any homosexual activity they may witness. The new bill is called I'm Not Gay, But It Gets Awful Lonely Out Here.
December 31st, after telling a series of killer jokes, I get laid like crazy. I'm later heard to a remark, where were you in 2010?
Yep.
Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up. Tonight, I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick-tock on the clock, but the party don't stop, no.
Andrew Rosas, thanks for being on the show. Playing guitar. Audra Schroeder.
Audra Schroeder. So good.
From the Austin Chronicle, amazing. And we are over, and it looks like the legendary disc.